Rise and Shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:04 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you on the radio program. Welcome to the BP Credit Card 7 o'clock hour here. A program we invite you to get involved if you would like, 855-CUB-TALK, or you can email in for our Hot Shots email of the day. Free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots. Doug, a Lemmings lunch is a single Hot Shots burger, double chili cheese Doug dog with a side of
what the hell is that?
Any Lemming can order this meal for just $6.99, Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Also, new additions to Doug's Thorough Lemmings list will be awarded a free Lemmings lunch. Plus, Hot Shots is offering up a $100 gift card to each of our Email of the Month winners. A $100 gift card for the Email of the Month winner. How about that? We got a whole new thing going on with this email today.
Let me get this straight. If someone were to lay hosannas at your feet, they are eligible to win a free lunch at Hot Shots. And if they do it well for a whole month, they might win a $100 gift card?
That's what it looks like.
It's a heck of a business plan.
But it has to be a Thorough Lemming, Doug. That's up to you to determine.
All right. Well, I've got the list right here, and I just assume not add any more lists to it. I'd like to see someone, you know, get a free lunch, sure.
What's a gift Doug card's dog, all right. Tim? Because that's what I found intriguing.
Double chili cheese Doug dog.
Huh.
Who's that named after? Is that new on the menu? They probably had that.
I'm going to get a Doug dog.
Double chili. Double the chili. Hmm.
You know what it is? Because you're hot and spicy, too.
I don't know that. I don't know.
I think you're.
I don't know. Well, next time I'm at Hot Shots, and I think it'll be Thursday, I may have to try that. That could clog your colon. You eat that
Thursday
much.
At Hot Shots on Dorset. Come on by. The water is warm.
All right. Well, we're all planning to be there. Got some scheduling issues. We were planning to be there.
Why are you saying it kind of like...
Try the double dog cheese.
You're an old woman.
Double chili cheese. Or maybe the Hot Shots burger. Try something.
What about the tots? They got tots there.
Hot tots.
And they're covered in cheese, bacon, and wing sauce.
That's right.
That's what I would try.
All right. Okay, well, I'll try something, I'm sure. It's just that it's a shame that it has to go to the Thorough Lemmings.
Don't lie to the listeners. You already told Plowsy to order you a chicken sandwich.
This is before this new information surfaced.
Well, it was in the information that Seymour sent out.
Well, I didn't see it until
crack
just
of
now.
Dawn, 5 a.m.
Yeah, I wasn't up at dawn to read that. This Thorough Lemmings list right now has like 20 names on it. I think that's probably enough.
Well, I'm sure perusing the text line. We'll get you some Thorough Lemmings right quick.
Plowsy and Iggy are on that list, I see. Caller Ellen, Beer Cats, Ray King.
I didn't get a free lunch.
Well, it's a new thing.
It just started.
Plus, employees.
It's not retroactive?
I think employees are not qualified.
Okay.
Would be my guess.
Probably so.
John Kelly going to be with us at 8:30. And Mark Saxon, Cardinal beat reporter for ESPN.com. And leaked footage of the Cat coaching youth basketball this weekend. He's with us at 9 o'clock.
Leaked footage? Like it wasn't supposed to get out?
Luckily, Billy Bush wasn't in it.
Have you seen this video?
Yeah, I did. It's not flattering.
What are you doing?
I'm coaching.
But it says leaked footage. Like maybe you're yelling or screaming or doing something inappropriate.
I'm coaching.
So it's good footage?
I think it's embarrassing.
Oh. What, are you standing up on the sideline? What are you doing?
I'm right in front of the kids.
Is it a game or practice?
Practice. And we had our first game yesterday, and we're down 14 to nothing. Ended up losing. So you know what I did?
You're not coaching a lot of defense, then.
I've learned this well. I tweeted out that Johnny Hecker was a real bright spot for us.
One of the dads is videoing you coaching in case you do something inappropriate. Is that what's going on here?
I don't know. You have to ask him why he was shooting a video. I was coaching, Doug.
Okay. All right. Well, be anxious to see what that's all about.
Well, you can go on his Twitter. Look. All I was doing was working on getting kids to move their feet on defense. It was a little drill that that I had seen before. Maybe I had been coached that way. I can't remember.
Yeah. They were anchored to their spots on the, you're playing a zone defense, are you?
Well, we are. But I want to move their feet, get in front of the ball, stop the ball.
All right. But fell behind 14-0.
Yeah, they had one kid who was really good.
All right, that's all it takes. Pretty much at any level of hoops, you get one guy who's a lot better than everybody else.
But then we start hitting our shots. If we play them again, we'll beat them. I'll guarantee you that.
What was the final?
72-2.
Ouch.
No, it was 21-10. Blame myself.
Yeah, you need to look inward a little bit. That's how your coaching career begins.
Yeah. Yes.
First team you've ever coached at any level?
Yes. I was thinking, yeah.
But Mike Lee is on the line.
Oh, great. Well, hello. Hello, Mike. Hello.
Hey, you heard about me talking to Carla Friday at 1, 2 o'clock?
You might have to run that by me one more time, please, Mike.
Fran and Kukla, they had a puppet show.
2 o'clock radio show. I was talking to her Friday.
Oh, the 2 o'clock radio show, you talk to a gal.
Yeah.
Who is that, Carly?
Yeah, the one with 2 o'clock show.
Yeah, how'd that go for you?
She said she really liked me.
Oh, nice.
I really like you.
So, Carla, I think Carla's pretty cool for me.
All right, yeah.
And what about Penny?
She's not happy about it.
She's not? Mm. Yeah. She's always kind of been sweet on you.
She's not happy. And past the other week, I went over to see Carla.
You mm-hmm. went to the Red Sea?
I went to see her.
Oh.
Went to see Carla?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Penny's a little jealous about that, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
So have you settled in? Have you settled in? It's Carly for you, and Penny is going to have to find someone else. Is that how you see it?
Penny says she never want to leave me.
She doesn't want to leave you?
That's what she says.
Well, that's
never.
Nice of her. Nice. You got a real friend in that Penny, Mike.
So that's what she say.
All right.
And last week ago, Carla, that's what you like, a month ago, 24, Penny came to see me, and Carla got jealous, and then after that, I went over to see Carla, and, you know, went up to see Carla for that day.
Yeah, better straighten that out before it gets out of control.
Yeah, and I got Carla back. Mm-hmm. I went over there straight out.
Is there anything you have maybe for Doug?
Hey, Doug.
Yo.
I drink Starbucks coffee.
Did you really? Yeah, I know you like Starbucks.
Yeah, you ass stink.
Okay, put him down. Put him down.
There it is.
Mike Lee has been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name is going to Leatherbound Llewellyn's Pub suspension log Yule. Okay.
I didn't see that coming.
Completed. Well, you kind of goaded him into it.
I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
BP Credit Cards, a sponsor of our 7 o'clock hour. For a limited time, open with a new BP credit card account and get $20 paid as a statement credit after your first BP purchase within 60 days of opening a new BP credit card account, subject to credit approval. See station for details. Offer valid through January 31st, 2017. John Kelly at 8:30, Mark Saxon at 9 o'clock. Your emails for the Hot Shots email of the day, the morning after at insidestl.com. The Blues with a win on Saturday night as the Winter Classic weekend comes to a close yesterday with the fun and games at Busch Stadium. Jim Edmonds on the ice. Here is what he had to say regarding the fun and games.
But I was really impressed by the way the fans got involved. That to me is more important. I think for the city of St. Louis, to show that they can go out there and support a game outside in the cold. I mean, we know people do it in Chicago in the cold and, you know, see Toronto and stuff. But to do it here, it was really special to watch. And the atmosphere was second to none.
Jim Edmonds, how'd he look? I guess Fox
was all right.
Fox was streaming some of that stuff. I didn't get a chance to see it.
He said that he had never had a pair of skates on until about 2000 and goes four or five times a year, I guess, with kids or something, and learned well enough that he could stay on his feet, so he thought he would play.
And how did he look?
He was fine. You know, he's out there with NHL quality skaters, so, you know, when they wanted to, they went right around him, but he did fine. He didn't embarrass himself at all. I'm sure he had a good time with it.
What other celebs were taking part, Doug?
Bill DeWitt III is a really good player.
He is. He skates a lot.
He's a good player. Yeah. I asked him about it. He said he played on the JV team at Yale.
Is that right?
Yeah. No, he looked like a serious player. And Tom Stillman is pretty good. Tom Stillman took Cam Jansen's measure in a fight. Knocked Jansen down.
Not surprised.
That was probably the highlight of the whole thing.
Any media people in there?
There were no media people. No, these are mostly former Blues and some former Cardinals. Kerry Robinson can play. He can skate.
I thought like Claves would be up in there.
No. John Tudor was there taking a shift on defense.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Good crowd?
Yeah, they said they sold 10,000 tickets. I don't think that many were there because it was bitterly cold. But it was a fun thing. Skills competition was kind of neat. I'm not sure the Blues were thrilled about that, having to do that at 11 in the morning after playing a game the night before. But they had fun with that, too.
Pareko had a shot 104 miles an hour.
Right. Scotty Upshaw, 99 miles an hour.
Are you going to do all the times? I was just doing the leader. I was just doing the leader.
He thought he might win. I mean, who knew Scotty Upshaw can shoot like that?
Did you interview him?
Yeah.
What'd he say?
He said he was proud that he shot at 99 miles an hour, finished in second. Is that who you would have thought would have been the second hardest shot on the team?
I probably wouldn't have even ventured a guess.
And you see Hoxie's article in the paper today about Pareko, hardest shot on the team. He's got 100 shots on goal this year and zero goals. He's 0 for 100.
Yeah, I know. I watched the game, so they've mentioned that from time to time.
That's hard to believe. Second most shots on goal on the team.
Broke a lot of sticks, too, but he's found a good twig, as Panger would call it.
Oh, I hope so.
A good twig.
Darren Pang was there, standing on his head, announced after the first period that he was officially retired from hockey. He was going to burn his pads.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah.
Hopefully we have these things again and Panger can play.
Yeah, I don't know. He said he was going to burn them.
Maybe he was just caught up in the moment.
It could have been. Yeah, a lot of euphoria there.
And it was a big win for the Blues Saturday night.
Nice win. Little birdie. Redirect. Sure.
Any thoughts on that?
I don't remember anything else that happened.
Well.
Oh, if that's not done within like a 12-hour period, I forget what happened.
Now the question is, can they get a back-to-back win scenario? Can they win consecutive? It's been a while.
With Backes back in town.
I see what you did there.
And he scored two or three nights in a row, I think.
He was hurt. What, do you have a shoulder before?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what it was. And even more interesting to see how it all plays out tomorrow evening.
Are you going to get down there and do like a little interview? Say, Backer, can we get a quote?
I'm going as a fan, actually.
Good for you.
Yeah. Ryan Kelly gave me the tickets.
Boy, you hit him up a lot.
I didn't hit him up. He offered them.
Wow.
He offered them.
Might be awkward at some point.
No, I didn't hit him up. He offered.
You ever go to Ryan Kelly's house and just rifle through his cupboards looking for a snack?
Only when he's out of town.
Right. Ryan Kelly is a nice, generous fellow.
Yes, he is. With a fight coming up next month.
Do we know the locale for that? No. Well, wherever it is, I'll be there. I will be there.
Yeah, I hope to be there as well. I hope to.
Think Timberfake has a chance?
Well, he's got a puncher's chance, as you say. Puncher's chance. No, I'm taking the challenger in this one. I think Ryan Kelly, he's feisty. He's sneaky strong. He works out all the time. We've seen him shadow box.
He's motivated.
Yes, he's motivated.
But that Timberfake has a punch, the kind of punch I haven't seen since Ernie Shavers.
Well, Ernie Shavers was a highly decorated heavyweight. I don't. Timberfake is probably a strawweight, maybe middleweight.
Strawweight.
Yeah.
What is this? 1912.
They still have that.
No, they don't have strawweight.
Oh yeah, they do.
That's one of the official governing body weight classes.
It is an MMA anyway.
All right. Not into boxing.
I think it's still have flyweight.
Flyweight, bantamweight, super bantamweight, junior lightweight.
Yeah. I don't know what they'd be.
Too many, but I've never once seen strawweight.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I saw Daryl Strawberry play a few times.
That's not what they mean
they
by strawweight. Straw, it's not what they mean by it.
Call him straw.
It isn't what they mean. Okay.
You're what, are you going to take a breath after the Daryl Strawberry
match? Yeah, I mean, we've broken down quite a bit of things already.
I promised you guys last Friday when we were talking about Matt Lauer that I'd wear my choker today, and I did.
Can I get a like better that. Look at that?
Like that?
It's a bejeweled choker.
It's a from Jamaica.
How long ago did you get
that?
I'm
very proud of that. It kind of makes me
uncomfortable. I never wear it. But I told you I'd wear the choker because I told you I had one, so I wore it. And this will be the last time I wear it probably for another 5 years.
How does it make you feel to put on ladies' jewelry?
It's not a ladies' jewelry.
Well, it looks like it. It looks like a necklace.
It's a choker.
So how does it make you feel to wear that choker?
I don't know. I put it on. It doesn't make you feel anything.
Doug wants to know, and correct me if I'm wrong, if it makes you feel pretty. That's what you were going for.
Does it make you feel pretty?
No. When I put on the lingerie and the boa, yes, but the choker, no. It's just just an accessory. It matches the black turtleneck.
How many years ago did you buy that?
10,
all right,
maybe?
So you go into a gift shop.
I've worn
it
3 times.
Maybe someone selling it on the beach. Right?
That's how I bought it, yes, on a table at the beach.
And were you thinking to yourself, I'm going to go shopping for a choker, or did it just hit you like a bolt of lightning?
It was a nice, shiny object. That's why I bought it.
You had a couple of drinks in you, and you thought, yeah, I'll wear this all the time.
Nice.
And then you bought it. And you, yeah.
Well, I knew I was never going to wear it, but it was a good price and a lot of bartering in Jamaica. So if they say 20, I got it for 6. But it was just shiny. I liked the way the little gray rocks kind of shine with the gold, so I bought it.
When was the last time you donned the lingerie, buddy?
At Hedo.
You actually wear that at Hedo.
Well, you've seen the pictures, Doug. So
I've seen the picture. I didn't know where you had it on.
Where do you think it was, my living room?
I thought maybe it was.
We got to get Iggy back there. He'll have stories for a year after that. It's almost a good investment.
I have stories I've never even told. I will never run out of Hedo stories.
Now would be a good time for one.
Actually, it would.
No, they're ones I can't tell on the air.
Why? I mean, you're pretty honest with everything else. You just try not to be as graphic.
I'll be very honest at a break if you want to hear stories, but they're not ones I would tell on the air.
Because they're too
body.
This isn't XM where I can say what I want, or a podcast I have to.
Yeah, but you're sort of a wordsmith. I thought you'd be able to...
I couldn't even work around this story to not make it FCC regulated.
Well, I don't know if I'm curious just because I guess it's going to warm today, but it's been so cold that anything involving warm weather piques my curiosity.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good right about now.
Well, even Florida's. I was talking to my sister yesterday in Orlando. It was like 41 in Orlando.
The whole country's in the grips of this winter weather.
Well, we can do a show from Hedo.
Well, yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I'll be on the cruise.
I'm sure you would go, and I'm sure Kat would go.
No, probably not.
I'd go on the prude side.
But we'd like to hear your tales from Hedo. It sounds like
like I've
TV
never
show,
told any Hedo stories before.
Well, I know, but we like them every day.
You want them every day?
Sure.
Okay.
Iggy's Tales from Hedo.
I'll tell you one at the break, and then you come back after the break, and you clean it up, and you tell the story. How about that?
Well, it doesn't involve me.
No, but you can kind of relay it by cleaning it up, because I can't clean it up. There's no way to clean this story up.
Well, how about another story that's not so filthy?
I've told so many Hedo stories. Okay. People don't want to hear the stories. They're all the same.
All right.
Iggy gets naked. Iggy bangs a married couple.
Okay.
Iggy meets Sherman Hemsley.
Yes, Sherman Hemsley wouldn't leave him alone.
That's a good one because it has star power.
Really? Sherman Hemsley has star power?
Sure.
Well, for us.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering why I never got married and then all the phone calls to what are we doing tonight, Iggy? I kind of figured that out.
So you'd have your tray at the lunch buffet All of a sudden, he'd be behind you. Hey, what are we having, Iggy?
He would just call the room. Iggy, what are we doing tonight? I said, what do you mean, what are we doing tonight? Come join us for cocktails if you want. This guy's cucking me.
And you had just met him?
Yeah. See, I'm not a star effer. They don't bother me. He was a normal guy to me.
Ever share a hot tub with Sherman Helmsley?
He came down, but he never got in. He walked down and did like his little George Jefferson dance in front of everybody, and then...
And he was there for just his own...
Hanging in Hito.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There was a show.
It was horny. What the hell?
How'd the little dance go? I bet the ladies liked that.
Yeah. The ladies didn't even know who he was.
Oh, they didn't? That's disappointing.
Big star. Made a lot of money. In the television industry.
I don't believe he did. I believe when he passed away, his assistant, who was really just she was not a nice person. She was arguing that she deserved some of his money, and his family was arguing with the assistant, and there wasn't much money left.
Well, I mean, he squandered all in that dry cleaners chain. You know, he had a few locations. That doesn't go well.
Right. That's a good business, though, dry cleaning.
Well, he lost when he moved up to the east side. He spent a ton of money.
Real estate's more expensive.
I tried to get him on a show that I was doing, and she says, well, is there any money involved? I said, what? It's an AM station. Just tell him it's Iggy.
FM doesn't pay either, do they?
No.
Well, I said, if you tell him it's Iggy from Hito, he will come on the show. Well, there's got to be money involved. I'm not talking to him unless there's money involved. I said, well, I'm not paying him to come on the show.
No, heavens.
That's what the kind of insistent she was. She's trying to get money for everything.
J-H-E?
No. So I never talked to him again.
We might have to look into
Judy Tenuta came. Judy Tenuta came on for free. She didn't ask for money.
Might have ruined his career. People forgot about him because he never went on anywhere because they insisted on money.
Well, then how do you explain Judy Tenuta?
Well, she's got nothing going on. She sits by her phone waiting for a call to go on a radio station.
That's my point. She didn't turn it down.
Was she at Hito?
She was part of hanging at Hito, too. I told her she got upset because I didn't know who she was. I said, you're that accordion chick. She got upset. I couldn't think of her name.
Your thoughts on Judy Tenuta, 855 Cub Talk, 855-282-8255. Doug, hold Odell Beckham Jr. accountable.
For breaking the drywall?
For going to Miami and going on a boat.
Well, I think the one thing you got to do is learn to accept defeat and not punch a hole in the drywall. Because, you know, it's not easy to fix in a moment's notice. It might leave a little patch there.
I can't believe that was even a thing on Twitter. I mean, how many times guys punch something after a loss or a bad game?
Well, slow day on Twitter, I guess.
But a lot of people were trying to tie in the fact that... Odell took the giant receiving core on a little boat trip.
Has anybody with any, credibility said that?
No, I just saw it on Twitter.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't know, because they spent the first hour of Mike and Mike this morning on that, and I was wondering if this was, really discussed as a serious issue, or if it was just, we'll fill time, so we'll do the straw man thing, because there was a couple of opinions on Twitter.
Did Jimmy Johnson reference it? I saw people tweeting that he might have.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, I think he might have.
I know that Aikman and Buck, I mean, I don't think they really had opinions, but I think they both kind of agreed, well, it's out there. You got to talk about it. And Aikman said, yeah. He said, you know, he did it. And I think Aikman's point was that don't upset your other players. And if you play bad, it's out there. You did this, and he went through the stats of how many catches they had. He said, and it's out there. You have to worry about your other players on the team thinking that, now, hey, did that have anything to do with it? But
yeah, it just looks bad.
Say bad optics.
It's got bad optics, the whole thing. I'm sure it didn't affect his play, really. It just looks bad.
That was a game I really wanted to see. Out of all the matches, it just didn't feel like a playoff football weekend. Maybe I'm in the minority, but I was looking forward to the Giants and Packers. It didn't turn out to be
wasn't a close game all weekend
because of the receivers went to get on a boat in Florida.
With the benefit of hindsight, this was a public festival. as in all the home teams won, and by comfortable margins. All the favorites won by comfortable margins, not really even sweats. And I really don't know what the hell I was thinking. I guess I didn't realize how bad Connor Cook was. But it's not necessarily, I don't want to say it's necessarily like Connor Cook's a horrible quarterback so much as he's the third string guy who hadn't gotten snaps and run the playbook all year and was thrown into that position with the Carr injury and then McGloin getting hurt. And geez, I mean, God, if I would have had even the slightest inkling on that, that was, I don't know how much people actually watch the Texans and Raiders.
Yeah,
because that was pretty rough football. It seems like the Texans are in the first weekend of football every year, and there's now 16-point underdogs. I think that's the largest underdog in playoff history going back to 1998. And I think it was the Falcons who were a 16-point favorite over the Cardinals. It's either the Vikings or Falcons. Falcons went on to win the NFC, lose to the Broncos that year. But, I mean, God, if you can do a little sweetheart teaser this weekend, Doug, with the Patriots minus 16, knock that down to minus 6. I really like the over on the Falcons and Seahawks, which I would imagine right now is set around 46. So you get that down to 36. And then take the Packers against the Cowboys plus 13. I think you could be sitting pretty is what I would think.
I think the Texans game might be a tricky one.
I don't see it.
They've got the number one defense in the entire league. I think they got a chance to keep it somewhat close.
I think part of that is because of the division they're in and who they get to play as many times as they do. I mean, they're just, I don't know. They have a good secondary. Then you combine that with Connor Cook just being horrible. God.
Oh, yeah, he's not ready. It bugs me when they say, well, Connor Cook, he didn't get any snaps all year in practice. Well, why not? Why not? If you can't get all your players snaps so that they're all ready to play, you're doing something wrong. You need to spend maybe 15 minutes less doing silly drills that amount to nothing at the beginning of practice. I watched the Rams do it for 20 years. They spend 30 or 40 minutes doing next to nothing. Get the backup quarterbacks a snap. It's not like no quarterback's ever been injured in the league and you're going to need a guy. How can you sit there and practice 4 or 5 days a week from the middle of July until January, and you got a guy on your team that hasn't practiced? That doesn't make any sense.
Maybe they didn't have enough of those red pennies to share, and that's why they don't put them in.
It just makes no sense to me at all. We got a quarterback, the most important guy on the team, but he doesn't get to practice. Well, let him practice.
All I know is that if you took my lock of the week, the over on the Giants and Packers, you cashed in big.
I did bet that. I forgot that was your lock of the week. I did.
Eight years in a row, I haven't missed one, so that's a pretty sure thing. You're welcome.
We'll go back and check those numbers.
Check Air Force. I mean, I can document it all the way back 2 weeks, which is like 8 years.
If ever there was an example of just how important the quarterback position is, it's that Raiders team. They were probably the third or fourth best team in the league all year. Yeah. Behind the Patriots and Cowboys, probably. And then it's probably the Raiders looking like a legitimate threat to go to the Super Bowl. And they lose
truly.
They lose one guy out of 11, and you wonder who they could have beaten on Sunday.
Well, their offense is geared toward deep pass plays with Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. And so that was just completely taken off the map. Even when they were down by a significant amount of points, it looked like Sam Bradford was out in Connor Cook's body and running around there. He was just checking down constantly because he couldn't throw it, you know, more than 10, 15 yards. Not that he's not capable of it, but he just wasn't comfortable doing it. And again, the Texans secondary, when healthy, is legitimately outstanding. But, you know, I mean, I'd be shocked if the Patriots just, I mean, 16. I mean, that number, I think, came out at 14 or 14 and a half, and it immediately went up to 16. Let's take a look at what the numbers are for this coming week, if they're out. Falcons started at 3.5. It's up to 4.5. I like the Falcons. I don't know if I'm buying it. The Falcons have done this so many times over. They get to the postseason and then minus that 198 team that we were just talking about with being a 16-point favorite against the Arizona Cardinals. They just piss the bed in the postseason. But they're minus 4.5 against the Seahawks. And I think they're a damn good football team that understandably flies under the radar. New England is now actually down to 15.5. Doug, you can get them at -5.5 on a sweetheart teaser.
I don't really know when you say sweetheart.
Sweetheart.
You got to bet three games, and then you can move the spread 10 points for each play. So if, like, the Patriots are 15.5, you can get it down to 5.5. But all three have to cover, or else you lose. And in the NFL, it has great value. The Steelers were a one-point favorite against the Chiefs, but then people saw Ben Roethlisberger walking around.
Walking boot.
A walking boot after the game, and so now the Chiefs are favored by one. I really like the Steelers there. The one variable that I'd keep an eye on, the weather, both here and in Kansas City. I don't know how much the weather in St. Louis is going to affect it, but the weather in Kansas City, at least at this point, granted 6 days out, is it's supposed to be an ice-snow combination, and how that could affect what Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown would do. And then they won't have to worry about weather in Green Bay and Dallas. And currently the Cowboys are -4, over under 51.5 there, over under 46.5 with the Chiefs and Steelers, 44.5 with the Texans and Patriots, and 51. Wow, I was way off on that. 51 for the Falcons and Seahawks. I still like the over, but that's a different animal than 46, 47 points. Doug, my official plays in the early going, I'll go Falcons, Patriots, Steelers. Man, I don't know on that Packers Cowboys.
Now you can sweet Packers.
Now you can sweet. Now you can sweet hot teaser it up to 14.
Some of that will depend on if Jordy Nelson.
Yeah,
can play.
That's a huge, huge factor. He never came back, did he?
No.
Yesterday,
he took a helmet right in the ribs. He may have a broken rib or two.
Patch him up.
And then Randall Cobb, who had really been crap in December, wound up being the guy. Plowhawk, how do you feel about your Packers against the Cowboys?
Not great. I think the offense can stack up with anybody that they play in the playoffs, but The Cowboys are just a good team, and I don't like to say it. I have kind of hatred for the Cowboys.
Why?
But I like Zeke. I think that offensive line is solid, and their defense isn't terrible. So I think that will be still the best game of the bunch will be that Packers-Cowboys game, but I have the edge to Dallas.
I guess I hate Dallas, too, the more I think about it.
I don't like Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones had a big key in the Rams moving out of here. He was part of that whole deal. I think the Packers can win down there.
Well, you like Golden Richards.
Yeah, pretty good receiver on the Dallas side. He doesn't have Danny White throwing to him anymore, though. Danny White's eyes kind of went sideways. That always bothered me.
I don't know what you mean.
It helped him see the receivers in the flat because he kind of had crazy eyes. You don't remember that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Well, go back and look at the video.
I remember Hollywood Henderson.
Yeah.
He won
nothing to do with Danny White's eyes.
He won two lottery jackpots. Two. In the aftermath of his playing career.
Yeah.
Pretty remarkable. And, of course, big Randy White.
Defensive end, sure. Yeah, big Randy White, yeah.
And then you had Newhouse just grinding out the yards with those little piston-like legs.
Was Nate Newton on that club?
Darn tootin'. I don't know. I think he came along a little later.
Remember when he got upset when the Dallas police busted what they thought was a house of prostitution, and Nate Newton went on the record and said, geez, all we doing is running some hoes up in here. That was his quote. He was stunned that they got arrested for it.
All they did was run some what?
Hoes. Huh. That's all they were doing. And got in trouble for it. He was flummoxed.
Who's your favorite cowboy of all time?
Oh, geez. Maybe Don Meredith?
That's going back.
Yeah. I remember just as a kid when he was a quarterback, but then he was so good on Monday Night Football that he became my favorite cowboy.
They were America's team.
Yeah.
That's what people say. And when they're good again, like they are now, cowboy fan comes out of the woodwork.
And then they got in all that trouble with drugs, and they became South America's team.
I see what
I
did there.
Yeah.
Right, but you remember when everyone was a Cowboys fan and then they went dormant for a while because the Cowboys weren't very good?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden everyone's a Cowboys fan again.
Well, sure.
How did they get to be America's team?
Well, they were on TV a lot.
And they had a good run, there's no question.
Yeah. Yeah, they were just on TV every Sunday, I think. That had a lot to do with it. Generally good teams.
You know, I will say this, watching the games like yesterday with the Packers, as cold as it is, guys, that, like, if you're a big, fat offensive lineman, you got a little built-in protection against the elements. But you see, like, receivers and guys in the secondary with no sleeves. That, I mean, that's got to be a difficult thing to be able to train your mind to block that out.
Just a macho thing. It doesn't help them to play like that. Maybe the fact that they go out there is part of the mind training, that it's not cold. I'm fine.
That's what I'm saying. That's, you can say whether or not it helps. That's debatable. But for them to be able to block that out.
At some point.
And Rodgers had sleeves. He had the little thing going. But, man, and you could see he's keeping his hands warm. But he was one cool customer. You know, deadly when they need.
I suppose on the sidelines they do get some heat. They sit on those benches and they warm up a little bit, maybe more than some of the fans do.
Yeah, but then they got to go out and play and stand there. You know, in football, there's quite a bit of standing around.
But I would think that you're probably better off running around and playing football than just standing there.
Yeah, but even when you're playing, even if you're, you know, you're getting every rep at your position, there's still quite a bit of standing around.
You do get used to it living up there. It is a major advantage for the guys who live up there. When I lived in Minnesota, if it was like 32 degrees, I almost didn't need a coat. You do get used to the cold weather. And if you're coming from somewhere south where you're not in that at all, and all of a sudden it's 5 degrees outside, that's all you're thinking about. It's, my God, it's cold here. Let's get this over with.
And what age does that change where you're always cold?
I don't know.
Have you noticed that the older you get, the more you hate the cold?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if that's your blood getting thinner or you're just running out of patience for it all. When you're a kid, if the cold weather means snow and, we can play, we can go sledding or throw snowballs or anything. As you get old, you're thinking, oh, I'm going to fall and break my hip.
The coldest I was ever in my life, I don't know what the temperature was, but I was traveling with the Blues. We're in Canada somewhere, and we're waiting for the players to board the team plane. And I was like, if I don't get on the plane soon, I think I'm going to keel over. It was that cold. That was, and it wasn't that long a period, but it was so oppressive, that cold, that I felt like I'm just going to run ahead. Sorry, Backus. Sorry, Big Wall. I'm running ahead.
Push your way to the front of the line.
I almost was going to do that because I was so cold. That's the only time I can remember thinking to myself, this is, you could die here cold.
Yeah.
Anyone else find it fascinating than the Atlanta-Seattle tilt, both mascots are birds? Think about it. It's from Stubby Applause.
Well, that's a good point, especially to bring it up right now.
Well, it's not like we're setting the world on fire with our tales of old guys being cold.
I find you got to keep your feet warm. That's the key for me. I'm okay with the hands and the head and everything else. Trunk, I'm fine. But it's always those feet.
Well, Doug, medically speaking, you lose most of your body heat through your head. So you do need a cap.
I don't know that that's true. That's been out there for years, but I don't know that it is.
Well, if I wasn't so cold, I would look it up on the internet and prove you wrong again. That's why you need a pair of, like, these Timberland boots that I keep bringing up. They keep you warm.
Yeah, socks. I need warmer socks.
They last forever.
My feet were so cold out there the last couple of days watching that hockey at Busch Stadium. It hurt to walk for about an hour. It was like 19, 20 degrees out there.
What, do you got like a problem with your capillaries? Got varicose veins and stuff where you don't have a good blood flow?
No.
Because it might help right now, and I'll do it. Amputation. Quick amputation.
My toes don't need amputating. Who am I, Tom Dempsey?
No, I'm just saying if your legs are very cold, probably
have my legs.
Probably have a circulation issue.
Wasn't my legs, it's the toes.
Well, your toes were attached to your legs, so we're going to have to amputate.
You're going
to
cut me off at the legs.
Yeah, maybe an arm, too.
I wasn't that cold.
Might have the early stages of frostbite.
I don't think so.
Were you skating doing your interviews? Or
no.
No, you weren't on the ice?
No. Okay. Not much of a skater, Iggy.
Well, I thought for a story, you would be out there skating while you're doing interviews.
Mm-mm. No.
That's what a lot of the news people would do.
No. You an ice skater, Iggy?
Yes, I ice skate.
Figure skating? No. Ever dress up like a bellhop and do some figure skating? No.
She's ignoring you.
Well, you just
this
asked,
is a
you
first.
Just, you're just asking stupid questions.
That's what we do here.
Do you own your own skates?
I mean, I'll get a drop out of that, but It was a stupid question.
Iggy, do you own your own skates?
I do, but I don't even know if they fit anymore. They're an old pair of Bowers, and I have a pair of CCMs, but they're kind of old.
Hockey or figure?
I don't. Hockey. Figures.
The listeners are welcome to get involved. 855-CUB-TALK. It's how you can call in to the appliance discounter phone lines. It's how you can text in. And our email of the day, the prize has been ratcheted up by Hot Shots, the sponsor of the email of the day. It's presented by Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill, home of our TMA Live this Thursday at Dorset. Hot Shots on Dorset, that's where we'll be broadcasting the show. Come on out and join us for the fun and games. And then our AFC-NFC Championship Party in 13 days will be at the Hot Shots in Fenton. Hot Shots was voted the number one sports bar in St. Louis by readers of the Riverfront Times. Visit one of their 11 St. Louis area locations today. Hot Shots, the sponsor of the email of the day. And it is a free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots that is the prize for email of the day. A single Hot Shots burger is the Lemmings lunch, along with double cheese, chili cheese dog with a side of TMA hot tots. Those are tater tots covered in cheese, bacon, and wing sauce. Any Lemming can order this meal for just $6.99 Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Also, new additions to Doug's Thorough Lemmings list will be awarded a free Lemmings lunch. Plus, Hot Shots is offering up a $100 gift card to each of our email of the month winners in 2017. Man, I'll tell you this is what I'll tell you. When I used to shave with my old razors, it was an absolutely miserable experience. I would get nicks and cuts, and I would dread it. But now with Harry's Razors, the game has changed, and you can change the game for yourself as well. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. So Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who were fed up with getting ripped off, started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality. So they bought their own factory, and by taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's offers their blades at half the price, just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, and they are so confident. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, as a special offer, fans of the show can go to harrys.com right now and enter promo code INSIDESTL at checkout to get a post-shave balm also free. That's harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, promo code INSIDESTL. John Kelly coming up at 8:30. Mark Saxon, Cardinal beat reporter for ESPN.com, with us at 9 o'clock. John Heyman ranked the winners and losers of the baseball offseason, and he has the Cardinals as one of the non-winners. He writes, sure, they got a bit better, but somehow I have to think $113.5 million could have been better spent than Dexter Fowler and Cecil. The Cardinals were right not to overpay for icon Albert Pujols or Jason Hayward, but they still do better drafting and developing than in free agency. He also listed the Nationals and Rockies amongst the non-winners. The winners, he has the Indians, the top closers in the game with Chapman, Jansen, and Melanson receiving the contracts they received. The Red Sox, the White Sox, Ian Desmond, Josh Reddick, Dexter Fowler, Jeremy Hellickson, and then the Marlins are listed way down there with Ziegler and Tozawa's acquisitions. The Cardinals ranked as a non-winner. How do you see that assessment by John Heyman?
I get it. I don't know if they overpaid for those guys. That's the market. And they wanted to lock up Cecil early before he started getting involved with other offers. So, I do think it's legitimate to wonder if they had done enough. If they're trying to catch the Cubs, I think that's a rational question to ask.
Yeah, I don't know that they're better than they were last year. Slightly different in the outfield. It's a great time to be a free agent when you can be pretty much an average outfielder. Dexter Fowler's numbers would indicate that he's about an average major league outfielder and still get 80-some-odd million dollars. I mean, he'll help them defensively. He gives them a different look at the top of the lineup, but I don't know that they're any better. They're different.
They're different.
Holiday put up big numbers last year for a guy who only played two-thirds of the season. And they're going to miss that bat in the middle of the lineup. I don't know that they've got a big bopper right in the middle now.
I think that's a fair point to make, but I do think Fowler, you can say he's average, but if you're looking at what the Cardinals were looking at, he was a good fit. You mentioned defense, but also on-base percentage. And I do think that you have three guys with really good on-base percentage at the top of the lineup that will give them a different look and that will help them. Is that enough? I do think they're missing, as you say, the big bat. The way I look at it, Piscotty's your cleanup hitter right now, has a chance to flourish in that, but is he really a cleanup hitter as you look at it right now? Probably not.
I really kept expecting them to add one more big hitter. I thought they might get Encarnacion or Trumbo or somebody. But, yeah, it's not over yet, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen now.
Do you think that they will?
I don't know that they've made up 17 and a half games on the Cubs or even come close to it.
Do you think that, because, I mean, it's hard to gauge what another team is going to be in comparison to your own. It looks on paper that the Cubs are much better, but to quantify it with games. But do you think there's a danger of them backsliding into being sort of an offensive slog, as I like to say?
Slog? Yeah, I think there's some questions with the pitching, too. I mean, Wainwright and Leake both had ERAs close to 5 last year. I mean, we can hope that they revert to who they used to be, but the reality is that's who they were last year anyway. They had ERAs well into the 4s, and Reyes was spectacular in a short sample size. If he's that pitcher, that, you know, that's obviously huge. If he's not, that's another somewhat question mark going in.
Yeah, I think Leake will be better just by the fact that they're going to commit to playing Wong more, who's better defensively. I think a lot. Look, it wasn't a good season. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it, but I do think that Leake was not helped, a ground ball pitcher with some pretty rough defense behind him. So maybe that will lead to him having a better season. With Wainwright, he's up there. You know, there were flashes where he looked like him, like his old self last year, and there were other times where even he, after games, would say, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I think it may be overly optimistic to think that we got a better defensive second baseman, and that's going to make Mike Leake a whole lot better pitcher.
Well, I think also Diaz, you know, who was hurt and was getting better defensively, having him being a little bit better and having a, you know, up the middle is important. Dexter Fowler getting to balls in the outfield. I do think that that will help. I don't know to what extent, but I do think that was part of the problem for Leake last year. Didn't get much help from his defense. I'm not saying he's going to win 20 games, Doug, so don't try to put that in.
No,
I'm just saying. I think that that will help him.
Doug, coming up this January, we also have this event, Bowling with Buds, introducing the first annual Bowling with Buds tournament presented by Bud Select at St. Charles Lanes on January 28th. Register your team of 5 for $150 and get 3 games of bowling with shoe rental. There will be 3 flights of winners, $5.90 beer and food specials, plus more. Come on out to St. Charles Lanes on January 28th from 1 to 5 to enjoy fellowship with other listeners and some 590 The Fan show hosts. Sign up your team of 5 now at InsideSTL.com.
That'd be nice if you could get a couple celebrities up in there, get Bud Bundy or Bud Black. And really play it up.
You want as many people named Bud as you can find.
Who's on your Mount Rushmore of Buds?
Oh, boy. I don't know. That
it's an important subject matter.
Yeah.
Bud.
Go with Bud Harrelson.
Nice. The Mets shortstop.
Yeah.
He got beat up by Pete Rose right there at second base.
Does it count? Buddy Bell? Does that count?
Nope. That's a buddy. Can't go Buddy Baker either. So we'll just put 3 on it. Bud Harrelson, Bud Black, and Bud Bundy.
Bud Bundy.
There is your Mount Rushmore of Buds.
I'll have to look up on it. Yeah, I'll have to look up, see if I can come up with another one. I thought Buddy Bell was going to work.
Nope.
Bud. I don't have any others.
Check your phone.
The cat is delusional. Cardinals are much worse. That comes from Hans Gruber.
I don't know that they're much worse.
Of course they are, Doug.
I don't know that that you could say they got a whole lot better. I guess Grichuk could perform a lot better. I guess Piscotty his arrow is pointing upward.
Don't talk about
Diaz could always be better, as good as he was last year. I mean, he's a young player, too, who might get even better. Obviously, that's going to have to happen if they're going to be an improved team from last year, because they got a lot of ground to make up.
We're going to put Bud Abbott on the Mount Rushmore of Buds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of Abbott and Costello fame.
That's correct. It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out with the Cardinals. There's no guarantees. I think they made improvements in some areas. Yes, the loss of Holiday will hurt. If, you know, Holiday can stay healthy this year, you know, has the makings of a guy who should be able to capitalize in that ballpark in the Big Apple. But they got a guy who can play defense. Maybe Grichuk does it. Maybe Wong hits. That's why they play the game, sir.
Huh. I think I would have preferred to see him say, Holiday, you're a first baseman. You're going to play there for another year. Carpenter, we're going to take that bat and not waste it at first base, but put that at another infield position and go that way. If you still had Holiday in your lineup with Fowler and Carpenter playing an infield position, I think you'd be considerably better than you are now. And Holiday didn't get hurt this last year because he was old. He got hit in the hand with a pitch. Could happen to anybody.
Yeah, I didn't count that as an injury due to age. But, you know, defensively, you're better if Holiday's not in the outfield. You know, they did upgrade that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have put him in the outfield.
Carpenter's a better defensive first baseman than Holiday. Don't get me wrong. If that's the direction they went, I'd be fine with that if they would have kept Holiday and said. People also discount Matt Adams a lot, too. I don't hear much about him except that he's trade bait.
That closes out the BP credit card, 7 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. John Kelly going to be with us at 8:30 on the radio program. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.